Hello, Grave Talks family. It's Tony Bruschi. If you love the Grave Talks, you'll probably love our other podcast if you're already not a subscriber of it, Real Ghost Stories Online. The following is a 15-minute preview of this week's Extra Podcast Person, or EPP, bonus episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. I hope you enjoy. Sometimes it's just easier when we have a ghostly experience to be able to point at the thing, if it's a shadow person, if it's some sort of apparition, and go, ghost, that's a ghost right there. Hearing a voice, something of that nature, going, ghost, easily explainable when it's clearly defining itself to us. But what about when it's not so definable? What about when it takes over another person's body, making them do things they otherwise would never do? Especially when it targets the vulnerable, someone with a disability, making them seem crazy or possibly even possessed. What about when something paranormal happens that's not just a person or a sound, but it's a whole setting, a whole atmosphere that's completely normal in the moment until you realize a day later that setting hasn't existed for many, many years. A time and a place that you weren't even around for, but yet you lived it vividly the day before. A time slip, if you will. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, we have two stories for you. One about a dark force taking advantage of someone's disability. And then a time slip story. Where did a fabulous 1960s diner that one person so loved simply disappear to one night after being open and bustling with people just the day before? It's two great stories. It's EPP bonus episode number 369 of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Almost every area, every town, every city has its local legends, its lore, its stories of dark, desolate areas where disturbing acts occurred that can't quite be confirmed, but passed down from generation to generation, they always seem to just get a little bit worse with each passing mouth. But where do those stories start? Is there ever any sort of factual evidence to their existence? In some cases, yes. In some cases, no. Could sometimes just the creative minds of some nefarious teenagers actually create something dark, something disturbing, something that could actually cause harm or haunt a location that never had those tragic events actually occur on them? The mere suggestion and retelling of the stories from generation to generation, can that create a haunting? That's what we ask in our next story. Take a listen. Growing up in a Christian household, I knew the battle between good and evil existed in our world, whether we saw it or not. Going to church and Sunday school every week, I was taught about the Word of God and how He wanted us to live to get into heaven. But in Sunday school, I was never taught that my faith would make me a target for several demonic spirits that would eventually attack me and my family. For 3 years of my childhood, what started as an evil spirit attaching itself to me eventually culminated into two separate events. The first event is a situation I won't be including in this story, for I'd have to cram it. Try to make the retelling of my story as quickly as I can, but the basic gist of the first event was a situation where the entity that followed me everywhere ended up physically attacking several of my classmates at my friend's birthday party. The second event being at my church, where my sister was maliciously attacked by an unseen force, and she was pinned to the floor by members of our church as they prayed over her in a large group. That I will explain, for it ended a series of intense spiritual battles that overtook my family's life. In 2014, my family, along with 11-year-old me, resided in Tucson, Arizona. For a job opportunity, my father was given to start a new business. Our original home being in Colorado, where I was born and raised, we needed a scene change in our lives, so we left the Rocky Mountains and landed in the desert. Never got used to the number of cacti I saw everywhere I turned. Come spring break, my family took a trip to Avondale, Colorado, to visit my cousins. The house my cousin stayed in was quite literally in the middle of nowhere, surrounded by nothing but open fields and corn stalks. The nearest neighboring house was half a mile down the dirt road, as if my cousin's house wasn't creepy enough. It was so far out in the country that nighttime was especially dark. I always remembered having an uneasy feeling about the property itself. Don't get me wrong, it's a beautiful house, not to mention its huge size. It had two floors, including a basement, a modern layout with a cement exterior. The house was so big and so isolated, you'd be able to see the house driving several miles away. My cousins were the only family to have lived on the property, so any possibility of deaths on the land was out of the question, so I thought. The house my cousins lived in had no conceptual reasoning to be as creepy as it was. It wasn't until one night my cousins and I were about to go to bed. My cousin Savannah told me about why she didn't like sleeping in her room at night. Every few nights, she'd see a little girl standing on the edge of her bed, staring at her. Just the thought of that scared the shit out of me, and I couldn't blame her for not wanting to sleep in her room. As a matter of fact, Savannah had taken the opportunity to sleep in the living room while we were visiting. Me, Savannah, and her friend Taylor huddled up in the living room and treated it as a fun little sleepover. When Savannah told us she was seeing the little girl, we ended up staying on the topic of scary stories. This was when Taylor told the story of Corner Road, a story that would soon become very personal to my life. Corner Road is an actual road that sat about 10 minutes away from the house, and where a legend spreads that a man went crazy in the house he lived in with his family. The old man savagely murdered his wife, son, and daughter, and skinned the family dog. The old man was so out of his mind, he hung his daughter's body on a tree branch that hangs over Corner Road so everyone who drove past could see it. In a fit of rage, the old man lit his house on fire, and now all that remains on the property is the outline of the destroyed walls and a basement. Taylor and Savannah told me they had both gone to the property at some point and confirmed that all that's left standing are the remains of the fire that burned the house down. At some point, I asked if anything had happened to them when they went to the property, and they responded with a list of things that people they knew had experienced in the past when they went. Things like seeing the little girl in the pink dress hanging in the tree her father tied her to, or seeing the family's white dog chasing you away from the property. But the worst one for me was seeing the tall man in a black cloak that showed itself to the people that visited and continued to haunt them in the future. But knowing these were just stories to freak me out, local legends, I eventually passed it off as campfire stories and didn't take them too seriously. Who would? Eventually, we stopped freaking each other out and fell asleep. Savannah and Taylor slept on the only two couches in the living room, leaving me to sleep on the carpet floor with a blanket and pillow in front of the couch Savannah was laying on. Around 12 in the morning, I had woken up from a heavy sleep. Everyone else was sleeping as well. Savannah snoring, Taylor stretched out across the couch in a way that's sure to give her back problems when she wakes up in the morning. I sat up from the floor and peered into the kitchen to look at the time on the oven. Sure enough, it was only a few minutes past 12. I looked around at the house as I sat on the floor wide awake. The weirdest part is that I didn't even feel uneasy or that someone was watching me. It wasn't until I looked towards the foyer that I saw him standing there. My heart sank to my stomach as my brain connected the dots. Standing in the center of the foyer, in front of the main entrance, was a figure of the tallest man I've ever seen in my life, abnormally tall. He was so tall, he was hunching over and stared directly at the floor. I was unable to see his facial features as he continued to stare at the ground. I even contemplated if my mind was making up what I was seeing. But the more I stared at him, the more real he became. His entire body was covered in black, with a hood that sagged over his head almost as if he was the perfect embodiment of the Grim Reaper. His clothing made him look almost cartoonish, with his hands at his side as he continued to stare directly at the floor. When it became clear that's what I was staring at, the coldness flowed through with a sensation as if the blood in my veins had turned to ice. I quickly tucked my head under the covers, hoping that whatever it was standing there didn't notice I saw it. But it became clear that it was an attack towards me. The voice of a man spoke through the blanket and into my ears as if his lips were speaking directly above my head. Speaking in a language, it sounded like gibberish. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but I knew in my heart that his intent was to hurt me. I could feel it. It took strength out of me to snap out of it and scream for Savannah to wake up. Several times I screamed for her, each time getting louder and more urgent. By the third time I shouted, the voice above me had stopped, and I heard Savannah's groggy voice asking what I needed. I quickly hopped onto the couch beside her and cried as I told her and Taylor what I had just happened and what I had just seen. That is where we're going to pause EPP bonus episode number 369 of Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for listening thus far. If you'd like to hear the rest of this story and our second story, where a fabulous 1960s diner seems to just disappear into thin air when a customer tries to return for dinner the second night. It's a time slip story that's quite fascinating. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP, as we call them. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You get access to all those stories, as well as 369 bonus episodes of our program and our archive of episodes with thousands of episodes in there, all commercial free. It is quite literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories. Get access to all of it. Go to ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Help keep our program on the air.